We can see in real time when CoA, our client, triggers a payment to the farmer, which is connected to a verified phone number. And then only if this mobile payment provider really pays for that amount of cocoa fruit juice, that amount of money, then we get a notification and it gets stored on the blockchain in real time and can't be manipulated from anyone else in the supply chain.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is the Digital Supply Chain Podcast, the number one podcast focusing on the digitization of supply chain. And I'm your host, Global Vice President at SAP, Tom Raftery. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Digital Supply Chain Podcast. My name is Tom Raftery with SAP, and with me on the show today, I have my special guest, Katharina. Katharina, welcome to the podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, yeah. As you said already, I'm Katharina. I'm super happy to be with you today and share a bit more about C-Trace. I'm one of the founders and CEO of C-Trace. Actually, originally, my background is in psychology and international business. But after founding my own NGO with my mom around refugee work, I studied an MBA in South Africa at the USB Business School. While my journey actually with C-Trace brought me back to African countries later on, I first was a consultant for digital ventures of Deloitte for a few years. But yeah, I guess eventually my passion for impact and especially scalable impact led me to found C-Trace in 2019.
Okay, 2019, so just a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So very much in startup mode, I'm guessing. What is C-Trace, the company that you founded?
We are a young startup, as you just said, from Berlin. And basically, we set out to turn transparency in supply chains into the norm rather than the exception. That is kind of our big mission. And we're trying to achieve that by providing a digital platform that makes the social environmental impact of consumer products both provable and also visible. So our platform basically allows companies to show the journey of their products from origin to point of sales by mapping all steps along the chain.
Okay, and in practical terms, how does that work?
We work with a step-by-step approach because just of the nature of the topic, such a complexity in supply chains, we also actually learned in the last 3 years that companies are at such a different level. Some of them, especially sometimes the smaller ones that are incredibly impact-driven and want a lot of transparency in their supply chains, they have a lot of knowledge already about upstream, downstream actors. And some companies, they might not have so many insights yet, or also maybe just start measuring carbon footprint. So they're very different levels companies are at. So we figured, okay, we have to allow a platform that offers step in stages, I would say. On one level, you can map your supply chain. So it's really about understanding it for you internally as a business, what is happening at each step. For products, it's always product specific, not on a company level. That wouldn't really make sense. So let's say, for example, cocoa, we have then the supply chain mapped for that cocoa. And then we also look at the social environmental impact, because that is kind of where we were coming from in the beginning. What is about the social environmental impact along the chain as well? Because there's so many processes involved, humans involved. And for that, we developed an impact framework. So you can imagine it like it can be something like carbon measured, can be fair labor, supporting education on the ground. And for these claims, we have defined criteria with our partners, Gateset and B Corp. So you can see exactly as a company, what is the requirement for this claim, but also for the consumer, you can see that. So it's always on both sides. And then on the third level, it's really about tracing. So then we talk about, if we take the examples of cacao again, where at which point in real time, what happened to the beans? So then it's project-based, what we do with our clients, because we have to see where is data flowing, what kind of data, how many actors are involved, how many batches are going from place to place. So yeah, that is very much project-based.
Okay. And if it's project-based, is it scalable? Mm-hmm. As in, I mean, project-based means a lot of work for an individual customer or client. So it means a lot of people in C-Trace dedicated to an individual project. And how do you scale that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's also something we were worried about in the beginning quite a lot. And I can take one of our projects, actually, because then it's easier to understand, which is Koa. It's a cacao fruit juice provider. They take not the bean, but the bulb around the cacao bean and make fruit juice out of it. It's a nice sweet syrup and sell it for two big chocolate manufacturers, for example, Lindt. And they said, okay, we really want to trace in real time and verify the fair payments on the ground to the farmers in Ghana. And that sounds now like, as you said, a lot of work for the client mm-hmm. and not really scalable. But we went there and looked at, okay, what can we do to actually have the data in real time and can verify this is happening? In a lot of African countries, there is mobile payment. So in that case, MTN, which is one of the biggest mobile payment providers, and our tech team built an integration to that mobile payment provider. So there's actually no manual work involved anymore. It's all running automatically. It is obviously in the beginning always just figuring out how to set it up in the best way possible. But now we're launching the next project with exactly the same process.
Okay.
As we have that API now. Yeah.
Okay, so there's a lot of initial work in setting it up, but afterwards you can reuse a lot of that code again mm-hmm. for follow-on projects.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, very good. And, I mean, you are a three-year-old company, more or less. How do you make the market for this kind of product?
Well, in the very beginning, basically just network, talk to people. What we figured quite early on is as we often work with one stakeholder in a supply chain, let's say we started with one bigger fruit and vegetable distributor based in Luxembourg, France, and Germany, Hausbusch, and then they again have a huge network, other suppliers, farms, distributors, supermarkets. So we have a lot of multiplying effects happening. The same in the cacao industry, in the coffee industry, in the nuts, in the superfoods industry. Now we are more and more working with vegan alternative companies. As we always have like one stakeholder in a big supply chain with a lot of stakeholders, it's a lot of multiplying effects. What we also said from day one actually started more like that than now it's moving more and more into a data-driven approach was we want to reach the consumer as well. So we have on one side often the CSR managers, sustainability managers we talk to in companies. But we also work with marketing departments because we believe that it has to be economically viable for companies to really invest and often care enough and put it up on their priorities. Obviously, also quality topics and now also law topics like the Supply Chain Act in Germany that got passed. But often it's also they want to increase their sales. We always make sure that that information we gather also arrives at the consumer. And that companies can distinguish themselves from greenwashing through that. So yeah, I think that is also definitely a big aspect to find the right market.
And if I am a consumer of, mm-hmm. I don't know, Lindt chocolate, I like Lindt chocolate. Mm-hmm. Is it a QR code on the packet or something like that, that I just scan up my phone and then I can see the journey?
Yeah, so we have different channels that our customers can then offer to the consumer, which is, as you said, a QR code on the product. So, for example, it could look like we have a water company as well. So you could scan the water on the bottle and see the whole journey from origin to point of sale. But you also see like the impact that is connected to it. The same actually is for web shops. So if you shop online, we build widgets for different online shops like Shopify, WooCommerce, etc. So you can also explore that information online. We have like a website slider where you can go through all the products and see the journey. So we're trying to make it possible to be on all channels, even if it's a flyer for some supermarkets. That's still important that they have their magazines and then you can scan there as well.
Okay. And who are your customers? Is it the distributors? Is it the manufacturers? Is it the growers? Is it the end consumers? I doubt it. But who in that kind of chain is your customer?
It's mainly the manufacturer and distributor and the companies. And it depends on the size of the company for sure. So sometimes if it's a smaller company, maybe they do more, you know, they are maybe also the grower and the seller and the distributor, like at the same time. But especially if we talk more in direct industry clients, then it's the manufacturer and distributor.
Okay. And where is the desire for this coming from? I mean, You mentioned that consumers are looking for more sustainable products. Is it that, or is it companies trying to attract more sustainably conscious consumers, or is there some other? I mean, you mentioned the German regulation on supply chain as well. Is it regulatory, or is it a combination, or where are we there?
Yeah, they're very different groups, I would speak freely. So they're like more the impact-driven, really sustainable companies that have that as their USP since day one, or just since like its core, the business model, let's put it that way. And often they do all the things or a lot of things already, but they've really struggled to bring it across and set themselves apart. Mm. I realized that myself, because I initially actually started with exporting a plant myself and going on that market. And then I wanted to show the incredible work that was happening in these African farms I visited and I saw. And I was like, I want this to come across if people see it in the supermarket shelf, because right now it's just next to all the other products. But they don't know it's female collective that has, they enable thousands of farmers to have a better income. You know, you can't see it. Mm. So I think there's this group, but then there is definitely also the group that is feeling that it's just time to act. Like the overall consciousness is just increasing more and more. Also with climate change, I have a feeling it's going to become a standard that you have to measure your carbon footprint quite soon. So I think there's also that knowledge. And bigger companies move more slow as well. So they have to start faster. Now, also with the Supply Chain Act that's going to become more strict from year to year, they can't get all the information about their upstream, downstream actors just within a few weeks and say like, okay, now we're ready. We have all that data. So I think there's definitely also that kind of pressure coming in.
Okay. And again, going back to me as the consumer, if I scan this QR code or whatever, what am I presented with? Do I get like a PDF, or is it a group of videos, or does it depend from customer to customer, or what is it?
It's standardized. So in the format, it's a web-based website, basically, because we didn't want consumers to download an application, because I think if you're in that situation, you want to scan, you don't want to download an app or that. It looks like an app, but it isn't an app.
Okay.
You can access it on your phone and it's going to look like an app, but yeah. And you see the product journey first. So you can really click from, okay, this is the first step. This is like where the growing happens. You see all the farms on a world map. You can tap on these little icons, location icons, and see images, sometimes videos from the farms that have been made on the ground. See what's happening in that step. You can see associated certificates or impact claims, for example, that grower is organic certified. Then you can slide over to the next step, which would be, for example, the processing step in a manufacturing building, maybe a bit apart from the farms. So you travel through the next step. And then again, you can see media, but also information, what's happening there, the claims. So you can go through the process kind of the product. Some clients also decide to embed a feedback function. So you as a consumer can also ask questions, you can interact, you can leave a comment, maybe something that's not clear to you, something you really like. So there's also kind of like a dialogue happening.
Okay, very good. Nice. And you're talking about farmers and you're talking about cacao, and a lot of what you're talking about seems to be the food industry. Is that where you are primarily, and is that where you're staying, or are you branching out, or where are you there?
I started going to different farms in Africa before I started Seatrade, so it was kind of like the beginning steps of it. So I was in the food industry already, and that was a big reason why I saw the issues there. I had my network there. I had more knowledge in that field. So we definitely have strong focus, especially with the tracing projects, on cacao and coffee. It's moving more to nuts, superfoods in general, milk alternatives, etc. But we're actually tackling the first project now with tracing organic cotton as well, and kicking off the work in summer with the cosmetic industry, because often also palm oil is a topic, and it's very analog to cacao. It has its issues. You want to show if it's produced differently, what's happening around it. So yeah, we don't have to limit to one industry, but that's where we naturally came from.
Okay, superb. And where to next? I mean, What are future plans for Seatrace? You're a very young company. What are you hoping for in the next 5 to 10 years?
5 to 10 is a long time. The next challenge and aim is to build more features to actually allow more collaboration along the chain. And also to, as you said earlier, to make it more and more scalable to also trace, because we also see like more and more companies already. Some started 3 years ago with us with just static data, just building it up. And now they're ready to also integrate dynamic data. And a big part for us is also collaboration right now. We are starting to collaborate more with other startups that, for example, are focused on carbon measurement or deforestation, but also more with universities to improve our impact framework, with the Gates set to find more partners. We can really also tackle bigger issues, but put the issues they all face together and solve them at once, and not just company by company. A big, big part in the next year is going to be collaboration as well.
Yeah, very good. Very good. We're coming towards the end of the podcast now, Katharina. Is there any question that I have not asked that you wish I had, or any aspect of this we've not touched on that you think it's important for people to be aware of?
One thing that I'm thinking of is that sometimes I have a feeling, especially with customers we talk to, that they're scared that it's going to be so much work or undoable that they not even start, or they keep pushing it. And I think something that we're realizing more and more, you can start somewhere. And obviously, there is also the fear of greenwashing. Mm-hmm. But then not to start at all, to try to understand your supply chain better, to understand your social environmental impact, is not sustainable and it's not the solution. So I think it is definitely possible to start step by step and then get somewhere. I guess that is something that is in my mind.
Nice, nice. Katharina, if people would like to know more about yourself or about Seatrace or any of the topics we discussed in the podcast today, where would you have me direct them?
We've recently released a product video that is super short and you understand in a nutshell what Seatrace does on YouTube. I guess that's a place to go. Then obviously Instagram, LinkedIn, we share a lot about events we're attending, what we're up to, next projects, new clients, and then our website where we have a lot of case studies as well, a nice blog where we talk about recent topics. So yeah, that would be the place to go.
Fantastic. I'll put links to all of those in the show notes for the podcast. Okay. So great. Super, Katharina, that's been really interesting. Thanks a million for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. It was really nice exchanging with you.
Okay, we've come to the end of the show. Thanks everyone for listening. If you'd like to know more about digital supply chains, head on over to sap.com/digital supply chain or simply drop me an email to tom.raftery@sap.com. If you like the show, please don't forget to subscribe to it in your podcast application of choice to get new episodes as soon as they're published. Also, please don't forget to rate and review the podcast. It really does help new people to find the show. Thanks. Catch you all next time.